Welcome to the Mr. Skin Podcast, your weekly dose of what's new and what's nude in movies, TV, and Hollywood's sexiest stars. Now get ready for your host, the world's foremost authority on celebrity nudity, Mr. Skin.
Legendary Mr. Skin.
Mr. Skin.
Dude, Mr. Skin.
MrSkin.com.
Skin, everybody.
Coast to coast, from Los Angeles, Chicago, and New York, it's the Mr. Skin Podcast with your hosts, Mr. Skin and Andrea Lowell. We want to hear from you. Call the show and leave us a voicemail at 484-SKIN-POD. Find all things Mr. Skin Podcast online at MrSkinPodcast.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Mr. Skin Podcast, episode 138, sponsored by StreamMate.com, the global leader in live streaming, with the hottest porn stars and amateurs broadcasting live directly from their bedroom to yours. StreamMate creates a totally unique and intimate experience where you get to direct the show however you want. With an endless variety of performers, you're sure to find your perfect match on StreamMate.com. The question is, are you ready? Skin, I am over the moon right now because I know what we're about to talk about and discuss and get deep into, and take it away.
Well, thanks, Andrea.
Yeah.
It's my my 20th annual Anatomy Awards, which is pretty wild.
That's awesome.
I've been doing a ton of radio promotion since last Wednesday on, you know, radio shows all over the country. It's a big time of the year for me. And one of the things about the Anatomy Awards, which, by the way, I can't believe it's been 20 years, because when I think back at, like, in March of 2000, when I first did the Anatomy Awards, I had like 12 links and it was,
right,
you know, pretty primitive. And now with my crack staff here at MrSkin.com, they it's 42 total categories. The tech team is amazing how they lay this out. We have a ton of fun with it. And one of the things that I really love about the Anatomy Awards, especially over the last, say, you know, 7 to 10 years, is there's so much content to go through over the course of the year. And the Anatomy Awards includes television and movies. And we obviously, it's a parody on the Oscars, and we always do it around Oscar time. But our guys go through so much stuff, and we see this wild and crazy and scary and fun and sexy nudity from all over the world. But it's really fun for me and for our team to curate this stuff and show you all of this content in a way that's fun and really cool, because a lot of this you had no idea existed. And that's what makes the Anatomy Awards so much fun for me, and,
right,
and why I think people enjoy it when they come to our website.
Excellent. I'm so excited. This is the best. I live for this.
Well, yeah. So what I'm going to do is, there's 42 total categories. I'm not going to go through all 42 or we'd be here forever, but I'm going to go over some of the highlights with you, Andrea, and get your thoughts. And,
yeah.
Some of this stuff you might remember from the podcast, but I know a lot of it you probably never saw. Like, let me start with the best camel toe.
Love a camel toe.
Yeah. But believe it or not, Keeping Up with the Kardashians is in their 15th season.
And, oh my God,
in episode 3, Kim Kardashian, she was wearing some of Kanye's Yeezy biker pants, and let's just say that they were very camelicious. And it's an interesting moment. She's standing there in these biker pants, but definitely the greatest celebrity camel toe of 2018. And Andrea, you could see that, correct?
She's definitely not wearing any underwear with this, because the seam of that camel toe of the biker pants, which is preposterous to me, by the way, is just going right up between those lips. And, you know, not the biggest, like, Kardashian fan, but definitely a camel toe fan. So bring it on. Bring it on.
So that was fun. So that was our best camel toe. And another award I love every year is the best nip slip.
I
love this because, you know, it wasn't supposed to happen. And, you know, when a famous person does a nip slip, it's awesome. And in this instance, it was Britney Spears. They were doing a live stream of a concert. She was at the theater at the MGM National Harbor, and during her song Do Something, she was lifted in the air by one of the male dancers.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think this male dancer cared that there was a nip right in front of his face. He doesn't seem to really care about it, but
he's
it
like
was
looking over to the side.
It was a very prominent nip slip. And, you know, of course it happened, because it was a live stream. It was, you know, it was out there and you couldn't put it back in, but it was our best nip slip of the year. And I'll tell you, nip slips are cool. I remember a couple of years back, Tina Fey was at the Emmys and she won our best nip slip while she was up on stage accepting an award.
Oh, yeah.
So, you remember that? It's always cool when a celebrity has, a nip slip. And, this was our best one of 2018.
Totally. And what a great callback. I haven't thought of Britney Spears in so long. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for
And by the way, her body and everything, she still looks great. And we're big fans. I remember when I started the website, she was doing, you know, that like a lot of Nickelodeon type stuff, music and things. And you'd feel weird, like, wow, this young woman has an incredible body. Well, now she's a, you know, a famous singer and winner of our best nip slips.
Right on.
Yeah. So, we also had an award, you know about this, the best basic cable nudity.
Yes.
Which is, from Yellowstone, which is the Kevin Costner show about a Montana ranching family on the Paramount Network. And his daughter is played by Kelly Riley. And by the way, she's British. How she can play a Montana rancher's daughter and nobody could tell. But
that's talent right there.
Well, the talent is, I mean, that butt shot is amazing. But what was the reason we chose this, we wanted to point out, like, and I talk to you about this a lot, but on Bravo, TNT, FX, TBS, whatever it is, they're now swearing and they're now showing nudity on a regular basis, but it's always butts. And when breasts pop out, or when, you know, like on all those reality TV shows, when the girls are topless, they always pixelate it out. But this was kind of a big deal that Kelly Riley showed her breasts, and they showed it on Yellowstone this summer, and we love that. And on top of it, it was, as you could see by the, as she's walking away with the champagne bottle, that's pretty awesome. But it was not only great nudity, but groundbreaking nudity, and I hope we'll see more of basic cable showing breasts instead of pixelating it out.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I remember when we first saw this and the boobs and the soaking tub outside and the walking away. Yes, yes, yes. So this is cable.
It was a great, it's a great nude scene nonetheless,
regardless.
It's also a groundbreaking and we hope to see more of this. Obviously on HBO and Showtime, breasts are all over the place, but they don't have commercials. So that's why that makes this pretty big deal.
Major. Yeah.
We also had an award this year, Andrea, the best puppet job, and you know where this is coming. Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey from the show Kidding he plays a Mr. Rogers-esque character and you know, like a children's TV host, but this is a very dark show on Showtime. And in episode 7, he was in bed with Ginger Gonzaga and she was topless and giving him a hand job. Then in the 10th episode, the last episode, they showed the exact same scene again, but they showed it from Jim Carrey's perspective. And you come to find out he was fantasizing the whole time that it was one of his puppets giving him a hand job. Can you believe that? Now, people ask me, like, well, who came in second place for this? So the answer is no one. We had no other puppet jobs, but
it's a standalone.
The puppet scene in Kidding is awesome, and it's a really interesting visual too. So it's one of those of the 42 picks. There's obviously tons of great ones, but one you should definitely stop by. It's not often you see a puppet giving a hand job to a famous person. So
That's hilarious. It's hilarious. It's really funny.
Yeah. Now, we also did, we had a great underboob this year and we loved it.
Yes.
It's Ariel Winter, Alex Dunphy from Modern Family. She did a movie with Burt Reynolds called The Last Movie Star. It was kind of like his swan song. He played a fading matinee idol and she was his young publicist. And there's a scene in the movie where she is in bed with her boyfriend and she's wearing a thong and then she is also wearing like a half gray t-shirt. She jumps out of bed and bends down to pick up something from the floor and you get an awesome under boob shot. It was definitely the best of the year. And you know, she's substantial boobages and she's used social media to really put her career on another level. But Ariel Winter in The Last Movie Star for Best Under Boob was a fun award this year.
Yeah, it's just massive because you never see underboobs from really that angle and at that big of a boob. So it's, it's a whole different experience with this underboob. If you have not seen this picture we're talking about, you have to check it out, MrSkin.com. Something else.
Yeah, it's really cool. Now, we also did an award this year for Best Butt Pillow, Andrea.
Oh.
And it's a really fun scene. It's Melanie Laurent and Brock Meyer. And Brock Meyer, that's Hank Azaria. We know him from the Simpsons, and he's, you know, does tons of voices on The Simpsons. But he okay, so this was season two, the second season, the very first episode, the opening of the first episode. And he's kind of doing a monologue about how America used to be all about the boobs. It was all about breasts, but we've turned into a country that really focuses on the ass. And he's doing it while he's laying, Melanie Laurent is laying nude on the floor, and he is using her substantial booty as a pillow to look right at the camera. It's an overhead shot. Another great visual if you haven't seen this. It's Best Butt Pillow.
Dude.
Oh, was
insane. Her glutes are like, I've never
gluteus
seen
maximus.
Yes. Her glutes are out of control. And you can just tell they're like just so firm and like it's just pure muscle. And he's but it's huge. And Hank's face is so funny and it's just preposterous, but it's like sexy at the same time. It's like
it's fun.
Now
I would be well, I would have turned my head the other way in that scene, but that's just me. So I love the
face
ass.
Down,
so.
Crack up. Yes,
I would be down. I would be nose down in that. So Melanie Laurent and Brock Meyer, Best Butt Pillow. Now, we also had a great accidental nudity this year. You might remember it from February. So Omarosa was on Celebrity Big Brother on CBS, but they did a live stream on the internet on CBS. And, you know, they have all the cameras and the people living there. And this is this was truly an accidental scene, even though she wasn't wearing a bra under her robe. But if you watch what happened, her robe got caught in the chair and her boob popped out for a split second. And you could see Chuck Liddell checking it out. You know, he got a good eye full of that.
Oh yeah.
But it really truly wasn't. Now granted, she could have been wearing a bra or something, but she chose not to, but she really did get her robe stuck and the breast popped out. So it was pretty crazy. So anyway, best
breast.
Accidental nudity, Omarosa in Celebrity Big Brother. That's a lot of fun. And then, Andrew, you know, body parts were big on that, too. We always, every year, do a best butt. And I loved Miley Cyrus and Nothing Breaks Like a Heart, a music video where she was in the front seat of the car and then was reaching for something in the back. And does it get much better than Miley Cyrus? You know, we had a lot of, obviously a lot of stiff competition for best butt, but this Miley Cyrus one, the second I saw this, I just said, this is the best butt of the year, question.
It's the best butt. You know, whatever your opinions are on Miley, we're talking best booty right here. And it's mind-blowing to me how good it is. And it's everything about it. It's the position she's in. It's the thong. It's the boots. It's how good her hamstrings look, too. It's like, it's the whole damn package on best ass. And I honestly would have never thought, you know, I knew she was looking good on that wrecking ball thing. But this bit over in the backseat of a car, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's great. So that is our best butt of the year. Now, the best rear burger, we don't get this often, but
no,
I loved it.
It's
was
our fave.
Rosamund Pike in A Private War, and I talked to you about this
a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she is... We also call this back burger, reverse burger, a lot of different things, but best rear burger. If you don't know what that is, this is when a woman is from behind and you could see vagina from behind. So
from the back,
in this scene, and she's a pretty well-known British actress.
Yeah.
I mean, she was in a James Bond movie with Pierce Brosnan. She was Ben Affleck's wife in Gone Girl. So she's pretty well known, and she plays a war correspondent in this movie, and it's a great nude scene. She's nude at the at the mirror, and you have Stanley Tucci in the tub, mm-hmm. and let's just say that when she swings her leg over, we Ooh. See Tucci and Cucci at the same time. It's pretty awesome. So yeah, it's just a great moment in Rear Burger.
It's good.
We loved it. Rosamund Pike in A Private War. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah,
so,
this made my whole Anatomy Awards right now. I mean, I'm yeah, like no, the biggest Rear Burger fan.
It's one if you, and by the way, this whole list is for free at MrSkin.com. You can see all 42 categories for free. So if you're listening to this and you want to check it out, please come to our website and see the Anatomy Awards. Very proud of this grouping. And we're only going to scratch and sniff the surface here, Andrea. So.
And now it's time for our CamStar Spotlight of the Week here from AVN 2019 at the Hard Rock Hotel in Las Vegas. And we're sitting down with Tisha Draven. Hi, gorgeous.
Hi, how's it going?
So good. So we're talking to a bunch of different cam models, Stream It, of course.
Yes.
So how long have you been camming?
I've actually been camming for about 4.5 years.
Oh, that's a good run.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not stopping anytime soon.
Not stopping, but I think when I started with camming, I've been able to transition into doing more clips and whatnot, but my home base was, you know, camming. Camming was my home first, so I got to give it props.
We're always really interested how someone starts camming, especially for our listeners. Like, what was the
driving force?
The driving force, or the thing that made you decide to get into camming?
Shockingly for myself, so me being plus size, I was really hesitant, specifically because I'm like, oh my god, I'm gonna go on and they're gonna say, why is this fat bitch here? And a friend of mine was like, listen, you have such a great personality
and
you
you're gorgeous
it. Thank you.
Yeah,
but I was scared, you know, kind of like, you know, oh my god, how am I gonna be perceived? And she's like, no, your personality is so, you know, give it a shot. So sure enough, I started camming. I did it literally for 5 months, and 5 months in, what had happened was I got nominated for Inked Angels Cam Girl of the Year.
Whoa.
So like immediately I had like such
That's
great
major.
Success. So it was great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, since we're on air right now and people can't see you, describe your look for everyone. Tell us, start, go from the top of your head to the bottom of your toes, girl.
So how I usually tell people online is I'm the goth girl next door, the BBW, goth girl next door.
Yes, I was going to say goth. Yeah.
Yeah, the goth girl next door. I have dark hair. The tips are purple. Mm. I have a nose ring, a lip ring, tattoos, and again, plus size. So, you know, I'm a chubby bunny, as I refer to it. So
I love it.
Yes, thank you.
Tell us, how big are your boobies?
Shockingly, I'm a 38B.
You're not
yes,
a B.
This is a push-up bra, honey. I'm an AVN. We got to make an illusion happen. We got to make this work. So no, yeah, I'm on the smaller size, but I have an ass to make up for it. So that's
can I
like,
see it? Would you mind standing up for me? So
really?
I can see your butt?
I'm like, am I putting my butt into the? No,
I want to see it. I'll describe it. Oh, she's lifting up her. Oh yes, and red panties too. So you have tattoos over your whole body.
Yes.
Like this isn't something like drunk one night went to the tattoo parlor. This is like, hey, I look good inked. I have,
right.
You have gorgeous porcelain skin.
Thank
which
you.
Which is like the best canvas ever for ink.
Right. Which why color ink really works for me.
Gorgeous.
So yeah, it's not like one of those. I'm gonna get a butterfly over my butthole. No, it was. I love. I'm not even done.
No,
my left side is the side that I'm focused on. It's weird. I'm trying to do it in. I didn't want to look blotchy. I don't want to have them all over.
No.
So yeah, but yeah.
What's your favorite tattoo that you have?
Probably the one that's on top. It's like a Day of the Dead zombie girl.
Oh yeah.
And it has
that's pretty.
Yeah, and it has a casket, so that's nice and morbid for everyone.
Hey, a little morbidity is hot. I like it.
Yeah.
Now, you also are a gamer.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
So, I actually started to transition going a little vanilla.
Okay.
And going on Twitch. But I've been a gamer for as long as I was able to pick up a controller and figure out Super Mario. So, yeah. So, I'm a big gamer. I'm a major dork, which is why I think I've became successful in terms of being humble, because I really am a nerd that just happens to...
Show
the goods at the same time.
Now you're also a dom.
Yes.
How did you figure that out? Was that something you knew before you got into camming, or was it something you developed on camera?
It was something that I already was doing. I think being from New York and naturally kind of being abrasive, it sounds crazy, but I think it's a very natural aggressive force.
Okay.
So luckily I was doing fetish dom sessions before I started camming. So camming was really the secondary aspect. Uh-huh. So I was able to grow that though and perfect
it.
That. So yeah.
What is the weirdest request?
It's our favorite question.
A fan has ever given you a customer, a random, whatever. Doesn't mean you said yes to it. But the weirdest request.
Weirdest request. I feel like anything that has to do with poop is automatically like a just the number one thing.
Yeah.
Anything that has to do with poop out of the butt, I'm kind of like, yeah, so about that.
Yeah.
So how do you decline that? Are you sweet or are you like, fuck off with that?
She says, no shit.
Wah, wah. No, no, I think it depends on who I'm talking to. Like, if you have someone who's really, like, maybe a little nervous and scared, and they're like, yeah, you know, do you do that? I'm like, no, I apologize, I don't. But if they're like, I'll pay you so-and-so, fuck you, I'm not doing that. I'm sorry, like, you know.
Can you tell a type of person that would be into that?
Yeah.
Like, what? I always wonder, I get it, it's a fetish, fine.
Right.
I don't fault people for what their fetish. But is there a type? Can you start talking to someone and get that vibe?
No.
Yeah, like,
is there
like
a certain look, a certain area they're from?
You know what's funny? And I say this, and I'm going to say this because I'm part German, but I feel like Germany actually does have a lot of that.
Japan, too.
Yeah, and Japan, yeah, Japan, too. So it's really, it would be so harsh on me to just assume, like, oh, that person might be into it. It'll be fucking people that are, like, normal as whatever, and it could be someone that you're dating, and then all of a sudden they're like, by the way, shit on my balls, and they're like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this?
I love you, by the way.
Yeah, I see why you do so well. You have a
Thank
great
you.
Personality.
Kid, I feel like if ever I'm sick or something, she should fill in for me.
Right. Yes.
You're fucking great.
Let's do this.
Yeah, you'd be great. You'd be great.
Now, what, aside from, like, the shitting stuff, because obviously that's off limits, is there anything that you're just, like, a hard no to?
I think we're going right back to the anal stuff. I'm really not too big into that. I know that that's like the 2018, 2019 thing is all about ass play, which is great. But like, I kind of keep that reserved for like
my private time.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, I love that. I think you have everything going on. You're beautiful. You're
Thank
smart,
you.
Clearly.
I try.
Your body's banging.
Thank
and
you.
That push-up bra is working because I thought
yes.
you were a double D.
No, no. Thank you, Victoria's Secret, for the lies. Thank you.
Everyone, you need to follow her on Twitter. Tisha Draven, like Raven, XXX. And then where can people find you on StreamMate?
Same thing. It's Tisha Draven, XXX.
Perfect.
Keep it simple.
Find her. She's hot. You'll love her.
Thank you.
Best nude comer. People ask me about what does that mean. And it's our definition here at MrSkin.com of the best nude comer is someone who we didn't really know before. She wasn't big on our radar. But because of her nudity in... during the year, she's now officially someone we're super interested in, and the winner is Burgundy Baker from The Chi,
mm-hmm.
which is a Showtime series about the South Side of Chicago, and beautiful actress, and she's not shy to do nudity, and we love it. So Burgundy Baker in The Chi is our best nude comer of 2018.
Yeah, she brought it pretty hard on that show, so really good pick on that one, Skin.
Yeah, no, I love her. Now, another one was our best butt munch, and I love this, is Alia Shawkat and Leah Costa in the movie Duck Butter. And it's funny, I've gone on a lot of terrestrial radio stations to talk about the Anatomy Awards, mm-hmm. and they're all fascinated by this. And I'm like trying to like describe, you know, on terrestrial radio, it's kind of, you kind of got to tiptoe around what's going
careful,
on.
Yeah.
On a podcast, you don't have to,
you're
but
like she's
first
laying
of all,
down on her tummy, and there's a
yeah,
woman
that's Leah Costa.
Her.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. Leah Costa's on her stomach. And first of all, I should say that the premise of this movie was they meet each other in a bar and then make a pact that they're to develop this intense intimacy that they're going to have sex like every hour for 24 hours. And anyway, Alia Shawkat, you might remember as maybe from Arrested Development.
Oh, yeah.
And,
love her.
Yeah. So Leah Costa's laying down and Alia is basically eating ass and it's awesome. So
now, how do you say that on terrestrial?
She's back there, you know. You say, I mean, you got to be careful. It depends. Some shows are more, graphic than others.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I just kind of depending on the show I'm on.
So
some guys ahead
though.
Of time will say, I can't say dining from behind. That sounds nice, but you know, a lot of shows can't even say that. So I got to be careful. So you just wing it per show. So.
I love it.
Anyway, and actually there were some terrestrial shows that were fascinated by Best Gooper Scooper, which is...
Now,
let me explain this. Yeah, well, it's Josephine Decker on HBO's Room 104, which airs on Friday nights, and it's an anthology. Well, it's an anthology series about what happens to these people each week that end up staying in this... Room 104 of this hotel. And so she's with her husband, I believe it was her husband, and they're the plan is, you know, we're going to go to the hotel, let's have sex, we want to have a baby. He obviously has other ideas because he pulls out and comes on her leg and not in her vagina. She then stands up and starts scooping the jizz into her vagina.
It's so we were like, so funny, but like, I mean, the context is funny, not the images.
Yeah, so she's like taking her own sperm sample, if you will. But anyway, yeah. He gets mad at her and she's scooping it in. And we're like, all right, we got to use this for the Anatomy Awards. Yeah, so we called it Best Gooper Scooper. You know, what are you going to do? So,
and they did not mess around. Whoever the art department is that made this fake spooge, I mean, it's looking like it looks a real thing.
It looks real.
And you got to check this out.
Yeah. But, you know, she's still really hot while this is all going on, which is great. So anyway, Best Gooper Scooper, Josephine Decker in Room 104. Check it out. It's great. The other one, Best Lesbian Scene. We always, since day one, I've always had a Best Lesbian Scene, rain or shine, every year. And this year, it's one we talked about a lot. It's from Vida, Star's show. Which is about these two Mexican-American sisters that come back to East L.A. Couldn't be more different. One of the sisters is a lesbian, and here she is on top.
Writing face.
Yes, and Michelle Prada and Michelle Badillo in the scene. And I think the big takeaway from this is obviously it's a great lesbian scene, but to me, the big takeaway is how graphic the sex and nudity is now happening on you know, premium cable.
It's graphic.
This isn't something you would have, you know, seen ever. 10 years ago.
No.
Right.
No. Yeah.
Shocking, she's literally face riding.
It's face riding while we're seeing full bush from the girl on the floor and like her right breast. I mean, it's legit. It's not like just implied face riding where you see someone writhing in ecstasy and moving around. It's like you see the whole damn thing. It's like porno with
right. You think you're what? That's why I say to people, like, you're flipping channels. The next thing you know, you're like in a porn movie, which is pretty incredible. So anyway, Best Lesbian Scene is Michelle Badillo, Michelle Prada, and Vida. And there were a lot, you know, obviously. It's just, there's so many, but to me, this was the most stunning. So now here's an award. I love this when we can do it every year, which is, and not every year we could do it for this age, but we try to do a best over 50, a best over 40, whatever. We have a best nude at 60 and it's Andy McDowell in Love After Love. And, in this Love After Love, she's been married for a number of years. She has two grown sons, and her husband passes away. And it's about the you know, her relationships with the people she meets and all that. And the big thing is that Andy McDowell does a nude scene in this movie, her first nude scene in 25 years, and she looks fantastic. And I bet many 60-year-old women would hope that someday they look. Or that they would look this good or be even willing to do a nude scene. But I always feel like I don't need every nude scene to be a 20-something actress. Like, I love, like, Marissa Tomei, one of my favorite nude scenes of all time. She was in her early 40s and Before the Devil Knows You're Dead and then The Wrestler that year.
Mm-hmm.
I love that Andy McDowell is doing this and she looks great.
And
so we had to give her an Anatomy Award.
No,
yeah.
I'm loving this too. And just like you, one of my favorite nude scenes of all time is Marissa Tomei in her 40s. It's how hot is it? It's either hot or it's not.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how
and ever
old
since,
you are.
Like, and think about how long you've known Andy McDowell. I mean, she was in Sex Lives and Videotapes. We followed her career, watched her movies. So it's really cool that she did this. The name of the movie is Love After Love. And and don't forget, she was a supermodel in the 80s, and you can see why. So
yeah.
Anyway, yeah, a couple more. Like our best TV show for nudity. I talked to you about this when it came out. It's a Netflix sci-fi series based on a pretty popular book called Altered Carbon.
Oh, yeah. Big fan of that show.
Oh my God, they did 22 nude scenes in the first season.
Insane. Insane amount.
Yeah, it really is. And there were many were like this Deitch and Lachman scene. Martha Higareda and Kristen Lehman also did great nudity. But man, 22 nude scenes in the first season. That's spectacular stuff.
Yeah, it's unparalleled, and the level of nudity is ridiculous too. It's not like, oh, we see a glimpse of a boob or this. It's like you get full on everything, whole enchilada.
Yeah, and there were tons of scenes like this. And just in this day and age, with all the great television nudity, when you're crowned, in our opinion, the best season, who had the best nudity for that year, that's a pretty good reason to check out Altered Carbon. And I know a lot of guys that are sci-fi fans, I don't know how you could forget the nudity because it was so prominent, but they actually really liked the show too. So very cool.
It was a good show. It wasn't just about the tits and ass. You know, it was like an actual good show.
Yeah, and a couple other ones. The best Merkin with Cat was Catherine Hahn in Private Life. You know her from Bad Moms. And by the way, she's wearing just a t-shirt. It kind of reminds me of the Julianne Moore nude scene from Shortcuts where she did the same thing, but Julianne Moore was not wearing a Merkin. That was her own bush, but in this case, it was a Merkin. But she still shows butt. It's a great scene. She plays a writer who's trying to have a... you know, she's trying to have a baby and going through fertility treatments, and she's driving Paul Giamatti, her husband, crazy. But pretty cool long scene. Now, back in the day when Julianne Moore did this, you know, we could trust that those were real pubes. But nowadays, you know, Merkins are used, which is fine. And anyway, Catherine Hahn in Private Life won our best Merkin, and it's still a great nude scene. But don't be fooled; that is not real bush. So
now, I'm sure a lot of terrestrial shows or other any radio shows ask you, how do you know? Oh, it's American. How do you respond to that?
Because she did interviews saying
that it was,
you know, yeah totally. All right, so yeah, anyway, the other one is Breast Picture.
Nice.
Which we do every year, and we look at mainstream films. Of course, we're not talking about pornos, but what mainstream films had the best nudity? And listen, this in 2018, right around Valentine's Day, 50 Shades Freed came out, the third in the trilogy, which, by the way, those three movies with Dakota Johnson and Jamie Dornan did made over $1 billion, which is amazing. And it's hard to believe, but mommy porn is big. Moms love to go to those, you know, those movies.
The erotic
and they
stuff,
bought tickets.
Yeah.
They bought tickets, and it's kind of a rarity where A-list nudity in a big Hollywood movie. It's just, it doesn't happen as much as it used to. And that's a big deal. And that's a big reason we gave 50 Shades Freed the best picture. We're really, really into, that type of thing when especially when movies with great nudity also make a lot of money. Cause we, you know, it's mostly the PG blockbusters that are making all the money.
Yeah.
Anyway, last but not least, Andrew, I wanted to wrap up my 2019 20th anniversary of my Anatomy Awards. And again, please go to MrSkin.com and check out the full list of 42 categories. We just touched on a number, but we give a Lifetime Skin Achievement Award every year, Andrea.
Yes.
This year, I'm proud to announce it's Nicole Kidman, who has had 19 movies or television shows where she's been naked. You know, her first nude scene was way back in 1986 in an Australian movie called Wind Rider.
Wow.
And then she, continued, did all these great nude scenes. Billy Bathgate, of course, Eyes Wide Shut, probably her best movie. And even in the 2017 with Big Little Lies, she was still getting naked. Dead Calm's another famous one. But she's 100%, as you can imagine, in the Mr. Skin Hall of Fame, but also very deserving of our Lifetime Skin Achievement Award, and one of my favorites. And rumor has it she's still considering doing some sexy stuff. I heard she's talking to Netflix about doing some Basic Instinct type movies, sexy crime dramas, but we'll see if that happens. But regardless, she's in the Mr. Skin Hall of Fame for a great, great career.
Well, fingers crossed for that and legs uncrossed for that, because I definitely want to see all of Nicole Kidman. Yeah, what a great pick. She's done so much. And, you know, one of the biggest factors always with you is the star power. It does not get bigger than Nicole Kidman. It doesn't.
Yes, no.
She's like cream of the crop. And the fact that she's done this much nudity, this level of nudity, and is still talking about doing more,
Wow. I mean, what a winner. What a winner. This, I'm so happy right now. This was such
a great
breakdown.
Yeah, no, it's a great list. And believe me, there's so many other great, great categories. And you got to check it out at MrSkin.com. So when you have a chance, our 20th Annual Anatomy Awards, I'm very, very proud of it. Please stop by MrSkin.com and check it out.
Absolutely. And now after this, if that wasn't enough, we're going to talk with someone who's going to blow us out of the water and teach us a thing or two about talking dirty. I mean, Amberly Rothfield, and we're talking to her now. And now Skin and I are so excited to introduce to the show someone who could teach me a thing or two when it comes to talking super sexy. I'm talking phone sex expert extraordinaire, Amberly Rothfield. How are you, gorgeous?
I am stinking wonderful. How the devil are you?
We are phenomenal. So tell us all about yourself and what you have going on and just how one gets to win the best phone sex operator award. I didn't even know that was an award. So
yeah.
Take it away, Amberly.
Sure. I've been what is colloquially known, that's not a word, but we'll pretend it is, as a PSO, phone sex operator, for 13 years.
Wow.
And yeah, since I was 18, literally.
So and how does one get started? Like, what was your first inspiration to say, you know what, I want to make some extra cash, I think I have a good voice, or how does that happen?
I was dead ass broke and had no car in the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
And I opened up a classified ad and they were asking for adult voice actresses. And I took that as like, you know, making weird voices, like just cartoon.
Yeah. Oh, Skin right there, baby. Don't stop.
Yeah, right.
That's what I would think, right?
Yeah, exactly. So they actually were in town. I was in San Antonio at the time. So they told me to come in. I got a friend to drop me off and they were like, oh, yeah, no, you're going to be talking with live people. And I was like, fuck, well, I really do have a job.
Ooh, that's so intimidating, though.
It was. It really was. And at the time, I think minimum wage was like $5 or something mm-hmm. in that area. And they offered me a job where they were like, yeah, I'll go get paid 25 cents a minute. And I forget what that works out to, but it was way more than $5. And I was like, done, whatever it is, I'll do it. And I sucked ass. So I was actually the worst. And they had like call monitors that listened to us. And they pulled me aside after every call. And like after a week or two, I finally kind of got the hang of it. So, and
well, also, Andrea, I could just, if I was a guy on the other end of a phone sex line, you have to have a great voice.
Yeah.
And I think Amberly does. Like, you don't want someone that smokes two packs a day and is talking like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, she has a great voice as I'm
super,
listening to
like,
her.
Flirty and youthful and like mischievous. You know what I mean? It's you do like that laugh. That laugh is so it's so hot. So
thank you.
What are some of the most bizarre things that a phone sex client has wanted? Because there's only so much you can do on the phone.
Yes. Yes, there is. And you have to be pretty creative and on the spot. Like I actually say that my job is more improv than it is anything. Because you have to be ready to do anything. But the weirdest thing a guy wanted me to do was apparently he had like a fetish for being like having women tied up in his basement and being his sex slave. But like he wanted me to tie myself up. He wanted to hear this. And so I'm trying to simulate it. I didn't have a basement. So I had like, I had to look for pipes and I didn't have any like open pipes that were like big enough. So I actually, it was the dead of night. I snuck out. I lived in an apartment complex. Mm-hmm. I snuck out. I'm on a cell phone. And I go out to my neighbor's car, who I'm pretty cool with, and I took a spoon, and I'm just banging on her tailpipe, looking left and right, hoping no one asks me what the fuck I'm doing.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow, that's commitment right there.
Gotta get those dollars.
Now, in a world where it's, you know, free porn everywhere you look, I mean, it's literally, you're looking for like snowshoes and some weird fetish pops up, cam girls, you know, there's so much happening in the evolution of the adult world. How is it that you're able to sustain like the old and tried and true, the phone sex operator? I mean, it seems like it might have gone out as things have been progressing forward, but obviously where you're standing is contrary to that.
It is. I think a lot of it was that as cam became popular, more people went to that. Mm-hmm. While a lot of people think that that would kill phone sex, it actually drove up the demand because we lost a lot of girls that went to go off to do cam. And so just the market kind of shifted. Also, mm-hmm. a lot of our demographic are a little bit slightly older gentlemen, like 40s, mm-hmm. 50, 60. They're kind of
More old school.
Exactly. They don't understand these websites. And also, there's something more personal about it. Like, even on Chatterbait, I've done Chatterbait and my free cams. You're in a room full of like 50, 60 other people.
Yeah.
It's nice mm-hmm. to have that one-on-one, knowing that I'm talking directly to you. I remember that your son has a baseball game on Thursday at 8. How did he do?
Hey, wait a second. Did you talk to me?
How did you two actually meet? I mean, yeah. What's going on here? No, this is fascinating, though. And for you specifically, you have so many sustainable customers. You know, it's about getting people to come back, right? Because if you just have like a one-off client, you're not going to be able to have a career. It's all about repetitive clients, yeah?
Yes. Yes. You're like, new clients are, what is the Girl Scout adage? Keep your old friends, but your old, keep
I don't
new
know.
Friends, but your new friends are gold.
Yeah, right.
That thing. Like, the repeat clients are your bread and butter. The new guys are awesome, but you want to convert them.
Uh-huh. Okay, so tell us about this book, because I mean, it's I'm thinking, should I become a phone sex operator, and maybe you can put me on the path, and I need to get a copy of this book, because the title, How I Made 10K in a Month in Phone Sex. Hello.
A month, Andrea. A month, not in a month.
A month. Yeah. So yeah. Let's get the lowdown, girl. Tell us all about your book. Tell us about some tips and tricks.
Sure. So the big thing is, it's not like, it's kind of sounds snake oil sells me to say I make $10,000 a month as a phone sex operator. I do. But it does take a little bit of build up. It's not going to happen overnight, but I did lay out the literal blueprint of how I did it.
Nice.
There's a website called Night Flirt, and I also mixed in with that Clips for Sale, because they also sell audio. Mm-hmm. And the big aha moment for me wasn't just talking to guys one-on-one, but having audio files recording, because it's a lot easier to record audio than video, and putting them on these websites, and then guys could download them, listen to them, and then they usually wanted to talk to me live. So that's a huge tip. If you're going to do phone sex, make audio, put them on the sites that allow for audio, like Clips for Sale. But yeah, I wrote the book because I am one of the top providers for a website called Night Flirt. And I get a lot of girls asking me, how do I do what I do? And over time, I kind of developed like an FAQ. And that's what the book became. And I started sending that out to them because it was a lot easier to send something than to take all this time out of my work to help as many people as I could. And when I was at AVN 2018, I walked up to the Mr. Skin booth and he asked me what I did. And I told him, about this book, and he's like, why isn't it out? Like, that's just like almost angry. Like, why haven't you
got it out in the world? Where is it?
And I did. And now I've kind of gotten into teaching. And I've also built a website where I do daily videos about marketing in the XXX world and getting out there so that you can do the same.
Yeah, and I think also to consider too is if you're someone that's trying, a woman that or a guy that's trying to make extra money, the phone sex thing, you still are able to keep an incognito part to it, which I think would be attractive. And boy, when you say that you could do this over the phone, and I get it, doesn't happen right away, but if you can make $10,000 a month doing this, wow, there's got to be a lot of people that would want to check out that book and see if they have the skills you have and the ability to do it, you know?
Yeah, and it is on Amazon for anybody who does want a copy. Thank you in advance. but yeah, it, exactly. Actually, for years, because my spouse was in the military, I couldn't use my own images. So I bought legal content of another model named Kate Harrington. She was a porn star. Again, I got the legal rights to use it. Mm-hmm. And I was her for a good 9 years. No one had any. I went from being a short, fat, black 32-year-old woman to being a long, tall, white 18-year-old girl.
What?
And no one was ever the wiser. They had no clue that was me.
You know, I think the thing that's so alluring about like the PSO is there is that anonymity. You know, it's like there's so much money to be made in camming, like so much, you know, but not everyone wants to be seen like that. And the right. fact that you can have that really, truly intimate relationship with your client and it be personal and it be so loving and it be, you know, like recurring and you're kind of building this relationship together. I think that's so beautiful without even overexposing yourself for your comfort level. Now, as far as you making, you know, 10K a month, how much time must you dedicate to make that that kind of cash?
So I'm going to give two answers. If you're starting out, I would say you need to be putting them in about 12 hours a day.
Holy!
If you want to go from like completely nothing to making that in within like maybe 3 months, then 12 hours. And then
You got to pay.
But it's gonna
it's like starting up a business. That's you have to work hard. That's you just do. That's the way it goes.
And it'll taper off closer to the end of the 3 months. In 3 months you can easily be making 10 grand a month if you're doing like the 12 hours in the beginning. If you're in the adult industry, you've got a little bit of content going for you. You have a little bit of something behind your name, even if it's like two or three customers that are repeating, maybe about 8 hours a day. Cause the biggest startup like time suck is content creation and making the audio files, putting them on I Want Clips, Clips for Sale. You can even put your stuff on iTunes if you want to put your like your previews.
I haven't found that on iTunes ever. So, Amberly, where can people find you? I'm sure, I mean, you're the best of the best. You won the best phone sex operator. You know, like, this is what you do. You literally wrote the book. So, people want you. How can people find you? Where can they get all things Amberly and your book? I know you mentioned Amazon, but let's tell everyone where they can get it for sure.
Sure. My website's amberlyrothfield.com, A-M-B-E-R-L-Y, Rothfield, R-O-T-H-F-I-E-L-D.com. I should learn how to spell my stage name. and it is on Amazon. I don't know the direct link, but if you type in Amberly Rothfield, it'll pop right up. Or even just, you know, how I make $10,000 a month in phone sex. It should pop right up for you.
And then how can people, from your website, AmberlyRothfield.com, that's where people can become customers of yours?
That is if you want to learn how to make money on the site.
Where can people go for you if they want to get you on the phone and talk nasty, girl? Come on.
Oh, sure. NITEflirt.com/Amberly.
Yes, I love it. Well, it has been a pleasure talking to you. And I'm so glad that this came full circle. You know, Skin is definitely a man of action and he gets shit done. That's why it's like, hey, you have a book.
You stop by our booth. Next thing you know, you're a guest on our podcast and you have a book.
Amazon, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Amberly, good for you. I'm so happy for you. And I'm just so glad that there's so many different avenues that women can succeed in this business and really empower themselves. So thank you for leading that charge. And we're just so thrilled you joined us on the show.
Oh, no, the pleasure is all mine. Thank you so much, Skin, and you as well.
Thanks, darling. All right, have a beautiful day. Bye.
This concludes another skintillating episode of the Mr. Skin Podcast. Subscribe to the Mr. Skin Podcast in iTunes and never miss a show. Thanks for listening.